but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I remember when they first gave me this radio show, and believe me, they gave it to me. I didn't deserve it. And I would interview like the Blazers general manager. We had Mike Tyson on the show one time, and I would look around and I'd go, man, like, this is great. We can just have a conversation on the show. The problem back in the day was I don't think I was very good at it. I think I've gotten better at it. I don't know. Our next guest, Dan Lanning, joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you, John?
I am well. I want to ask you about something that's been on my mind. Outback Steakhouse. Let's say you worked there when you were, I think you were in college, right? Was that one of your early jobs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm actually going to eat it later on tonight, believe it or not.
Are you really? You're going to the Outback? You can still go back?
Well, no, we're going to. So my family's figured out this thing called DoorDash that, But so my wife and I, we celebrate our 16th wedding anniversary tomorrow. And that's kind of hard to celebrate during football season. So we both said, hey, how about Outback tonight? So we're doing it here at the house. But a little bit. Outback's going to get, I think we're having Outback tonight. I hope we are. We'll see.
Or what do you order? What's your go-to order at Outback?
I'm a big fan of kookaburra wings. And then when they do the prime rib, I like to get the prime rib seasoned and seared medium rare. Mm. Get a ranch salad. Usually, I like the Cobb salad. I also like I think it's blue chopped cheese salad. It's pretty good. And then probably a loaded baked potato. That's kind of my go-to.
Anybody who's ever worked in a restaurant setting has a great respect and appreciation when you go into a restaurant. Like, I have to think that both, because I think you and Sophia, you guys both worked at that Outback, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was a to-go girl. I was a server.
So that's nostalgia. Like, you're telling your kids, hey, you know, we're having Outback, but this is why you don't exist if we don't work at Outback.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, I think anybody in life, like, you need to work in the service industry at some point. Doesn't mean you have to work at Outback. Like, you have to work in somewhere where you're serving others, and you might do the most unbelievable job and you get stiffed on a tip, or you might do like an average job, averages grits, and somebody blesses you with a great tip. But you learn how to talk to people. You learn how to solve problems. Maybe the meal gets cooked wrong, and you're the guy that has to address it. Like, I think there's a lot of real benefits to working in the service industry, and it was super beneficial to me in my life the time that I got to do it. So something I definitely don't take for granted.
I love that, and I like that you're a medium rare guy. You know, I think anything more than medium is not really having a steak, right? You got to have
All depends on what I'm having. Like, if I'm having a filet, for me, a filet needs to be rare. You know, that's you know, filet's rare. Anything with a little more fat in it, like a ribeye or a prime rib, like medium rare, so you can cook the fat through a little bit, marble it out. Okay. But yeah, that's kind of my. If it's brown inside, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, it's a mistake. You've overdone it. So are you a guy who will, in the off season, enjoy that? Do you like getting in the backyard? Do you have, like, a barbecue set up at your house?
Yeah, I love to cook. Yeah, I love to cook. I love to grill. And in the summer, when we're actually on vacation, I'm usually in charge of breakfast and dinner. Sophia kind of handles lunchtime, but that's usually the routine. I'm an omelet guy in the morning. I can cook a pretty good omelet. And then at night, we're usually doing steak or burgers or something like that.
I'm going to go to Outback. You've now convinced, I think, there's going to be a run on Outback. So Dan Lanning's ordering his anniversary dinner with Sophia. DoorDash. How do you feel about the grocery delivery? Let's see how far you go with the delivery thing. Do you do the grocery delivery? Yeah?
No, we haven't done that. I mean, I complain about DoorDash a lot. You know, I'm more the guy like, okay, you order it, I'll go pick it up. You know, I don't mind doing that, but I'm not always here. So it is what it is, right?
What kind of tipper are you on the DoorDash?
I'm pretty consistent, 20% regardless.
Do you feel like because people would know who you are, you better tip, or how do you handle that? Because you do have eyes.
I don't think our DoorDash name is a real name. I don't know how that works.
You got a fake name. What's your fake name? What's your go-to fake name?
I don't know where it is from my wife. My wife would order that. I don't know what it is, but I truly believe she has something up different listed. You know, I don't know. But
yeah,
I think
you never know. You never know who's delivering. You know, you could get some Washington.
I had a Beaver fan come over the other day. He was actually super nice. A DoorDash Beaver fan. They showed me her to say, man, wish you all the best of luck. And if you get bored cheering for the Beavers, you can cheer for us, you know?
There you go. See? There's some camaraderie. You know, not everything has to be mean-spirited. You got Rutgers. People are going to kill me if I don't talk about Rutgers. Everybody gets mad if I don't talk about Rutgers. Let me ask you this. I've been watching a little Rutgers. Their defense is struggling. They got guys in man coverage in that Washington game that just fall down. And if I'm Greg Schiano, I'm going crazy, going, hey, we schemed this up. Guy just falls down. When you're a coach and that happens on film, you just got to – what do you do?
If I'm sitting in man coverage and my guy falls down?
Yeah, you're in man coverage, guy's in position, it's the right call, your guy just falls down.
Yeah, it's all risk assessment. Like, that's what's great about the game. What works on paper isn't necessarily the truth, right? Like, you got to go execute. So I always feel like the next play is the most important play in those moments, and there's going to be some error on either side of the ball at times, and you just hope you're prepared enough for those moments that it doesn't happen to you.
You probably had some guys that make you look really smart, too. Like, maybe you're not.
We've had some really bad calls. Yeah, we've had some really bad calls that all of a sudden look like unbelievable calls, and it was, you know, players making unbelievable plays. Yeah, I've been on both ends of that, for sure.
What popped into your head when you said that? Because when you say, I was in a, you know, maybe you're in the wrong call, and it should be a big play for the offense, but a guy just makes a sensational play because he's a great athlete.
I mean, there's a ton of moments. I mean, immediately I go back to last week, but we didn't win that game last week. But there's a third down moment where we were aggressive on defense and ended up making a great play on a play that would have been really tough if you were just drawing up on paper and said it was going to be a good one.
Last week, I wasn't even going to bring up last week because you sounded like you were all irritated about talking about last week.
Oh, look, man, it's the reality. Isn't that the job I signed up for? Aren't you supposed to, you know, hit that? Isn't that somewhere on your docket that you're supposed to ask about? Here's my thing. Like, I do think the people that sit in the media room every single day, and I've talked about it, you know, Saturday after the game, you talk about it again on Monday, and then we're playing a team that I think is very capable and a good team, like, at some point, that team deserves the respect of getting a couple questions about the game we're about to play, right?
Yeah, at some point, you got to move on. It's like having lunch with a friend who's going through a bad relationship, and that's all they talk about is the bad relationship. Like, you got to evolve the conversation to the next thing. Just one thing, looking back, you know, you've said, hey, they had a better plan. Drill down on that. Like, if you go back, is it schematically something with the offensive line, defensive line? What was the thing that kind of kept you up on Saturday night?
Yeah, you know, ultimately, I felt like, I think I said this, I felt like they had the pen last, and we have a team that's super capable if we give them the answers to get us in the right play, to get us in the right opportunity, and we just didn't do that enough on Saturday. And then there were some things we walked away from that were really successful for us that we should have tried more. And then, you know, in the fourth quarter, you got to go win the fourth quarter. And you're talking about a tie game in the fourth quarter. And they imposed their will a little bit more than we did. And if you went and played that all back over again, like, what a learning opportunity, you know, to say, okay, how could we do this different? And losses aren't worth it if you don't learn the lessons, right? And if you learn the lessons, it can be really effective.
I think there's a recalibration, too, with the length of the season. We saw it last year with Ohio State. It's a long season. And there's a lot of – there's valleys, there's peaks. And I felt like Indiana – I watched those guys on the field after the game. That game, winning that game against you guys meant a lot to them. And I've seen your guys like that. In fact, 2 weeks earlier at Penn State, your guys were that way. And But it is, right. How hard is that emotionally to stay up and, you know, because it's draining every week, isn't it?
Well, that's what we all signed up for. And the emotional highs and lows of the game are super intense. But that's part of what makes college football so great.
This week, offensive line, I got to think the offensive line took it personally when they watched film from last week. What do you expect, or what are your expectations from your offensive line this week against Rutgers?
Yeah, I'm anticipating these guys have a good performance. They put in, you know, it's been a really good week of work, really good week of prep. I think our coaches have done a good job of the preparation necessary for this game. And all those things, when sacks happen, everybody always looks at the offensive line. And the reality is it very easily could have been a wideout running the wrong route and the quarterback's ready to throw it to him and he's not there. It could have been the quarterback moving the pocket when he's not supposed to move the pocket, or the O-line, maybe they do idea protection and they execute the protection the right way, but we got the wrong guy on the wrong matchup. So they usually wear it when it goes well, and they usually wear it when it goes, you know, goes poorly. But I do feel good about our prep this week. I do feel good about our plan.
Yeah, I thought maybe your back missed a couple of assignments on, that resulted in sacks, but I don't know. I don't know what you guys were calling there. And I thought, Dante's eyes, you know, he had been really good at staying, looking comfortable. He did not look comfortable last week. I guess that comes with protecting him. And because I thought you had some guys wide open, he just didn't have time to see him or he couldn't get his eyes up.
Yeah, and goes back to our preparation as coaches. I mean, look at you, man. You went from, I'm not going to ask a question about it, to like, let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Think about what we've talked about. We've talked about Outback Steakhouse. We've talked about tipping. We've talked about DoorDash. You know, we can do this all day, but
When's your anniversary, by the way, John? Like, when did you get married?
I am a summer guy. Summertime guy. So that's, good for you. Yeah, I as a football coach. Wait a minute. So you have? Did you get married during football season? But that was well before you were coaching, right? Like that's.
Well, I was coaching. No, I was coaching, but I was coaching high school football. But so when we got engaged on Easter, and I was kind of the guy that, like, when I got engaged, I was like, let's get married, like let's go and get married now. And my wife is like, well, let's do this summer wedding. It's going to be awesome. It's like, wait, so we're going to be engaged for more than a year? and then there was this little young guy named Caden that was coming along, and we said, let's speed this up so we can explain it to grandma. Yeah. And so we got married during football season.
Okay.
That's kind of how it worked out.
I love it. All right. So you guys were going to travel out. You're not obviously not there. So you're leaving tomorrow. You're doing that same thing you did. I think you did it in the Northwestern game. Same plan. Get out.
Really,
right?
More so the Penn State game. Northwestern, we actually went a day early.
Okay.
But this is a little bit more of our format for the Penn State game because it's a night game tomorrow.
Yeah. By the way, that trip out of Penn State, not to dwell, like, that was kind of a slog getting out of there. That's not an easy place to go. You guys went to Harrisburg after the game. You had to bus out. I had to do the same thing. I don't think I even went to sleep after the game. Like I just flew at 6 a.m. the next morning. Yeah. That's not ideal. We got to do something about that. Maybe I get
not
on the
ideal.
Team.
We gotta get a bigger runway there in State College for sure.
I need a seat on that charter on the way home next time you go there. That's what I'm thinking, because it took me forever to get back. I missed a whole day. I made it though. You know what I did though? I made it to my 9-year-old soccer game. She had a soccer game at 11 a.m. I landed. I was there. She scored a goal. I saw it. It was like a win for Dad. I was like, okay, I'm a good parent now. For all the things I miss. You miss things too, though. Your kid plays in the band. Your kid plays in a sport. How do you deal with the stuff that you miss?
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard, but again, it's part of, you know, and to me, it goes back to honoring the sacrifice that your family makes for you to get to do what you want to do. And if I'm not going to be there, then that means I better be working my tail off to make it worth it. And it'll never be worth it. You can't ever go back and be a dad again, but I do think there's other lessons that my family gets to learn from the way that we work. And if you work really hard, you know, you can accomplish a lot and be unbelievably blessed, but there's sacrifice that comes along with that. So I think even though you're maybe missing the lesson of getting to be there and all those moments and all those opportunities with your kids, you're also teaching a lesson of, hey, if you want to accomplish some things that there's going to be some sacrifices along the way, and I've been really fortunate to have a family that understands that and receives it really well.
I am looking around college football, and there's not a lot of patience for head coaches, and you know, the guys are losing games, and all of a sudden their job's in jeopardy, and guys that played, you know, in the semifinals last year are out of a job. And what do you make of the just, you know, and people have a hard time feeling sorry because of the money that's out there, and you know, you coaches are paid well, okay, that's part of it, but there's just a real lack of patience with coaches. What do you make of that as you look around your industry?
Do you think I'm on the hot seat, John?
You're not on the hot seat, but I'm just saying, you know.
James, I'm only 2 weeks away, right? That's how it works. That's world we live in.
That's it.
You know what? I don't feel bad for head coaches that are in my position. Like, we know who to stand up for. What's hard is my three kids didn't sign up for that. My wife didn't sign up for that. And what's harder is, there's 70 other people on that staff or 50 other people on that staff that aren't in the same situation that I'm in. So fans deserve, fans want, and there's accountability that comes along with our profession, especially when people are taken care of the way they're taken care of. But there's so many people that fall into that, that part of that puzzle that didn't sign up for it to play out the way it did, you know, and that's the part that's rough. And it's just part of what we sign up for. And again, I'm good. We signed up for it. So I'm in a good situation, but I feel for that quality control assistant that all of a sudden doesn't have a job anymore. And he has a wife and kids too. And it doesn't maybe look the same for him, or that freshman that signed up to go play for a coach and he's gone now. But this is college football. It is what it is. And you know, you hope you're always on the right side of it, and you work really hard to hope that you're always on the right side of it, but it just doesn't always work that way.
But I just remember last year, you know, you guys beat Ohio State, and the Ohio State fans, they wanted Ryan Day. And then he lost to Michigan.
And everybody was ready to see him out of town, and his family had to deal with, you know, some real craziness. And he goes on to win a national championship. So, obviously, he's an unbelievable coach. They got a great team, and it didn't go their way a couple times last year. That's the way it goes. It's hard, man. And everybody has a hard job. You know, Rob Mullins has a hard job. Like the ADs across the country, they have a hard job because they have an inordinate amount of pressure as well that they deal with. And they want results, and you pay for results, and you expect teams to have a lot of success. And it just doesn't always work that way. But when you have people that are motivated and they understand what they signed up for and they go attack problems and say, we're going to go fix problems, you know, a lot of times it works out. And I don't know, there's a lot of coaches that we can look at and say, hey, patience was worth it, right? Like if you were patient and you let it play out and you saw what happened, you had a lot of success. But I bet you there's just as many examples of why did we wait so long, right? So it's a hard game. It's a hard game to play. Luckily here, I believe in the people that we have here. We have some, you know, unbelievable people. Our players, I had a player say to me today that was at another program before, he said, Coach, I've never seen a team like practice like that after they lost. You know, everybody's feeling sorry for themselves. It's like, we don't have time for that, right? Let's go to work. So I think a lot of that has to do with your culture. What's the environment that you've created? And what's your team? What's the standards of your team? And then, you know, you go attack and give it the best effort you got every single day. And you control what you can control and see where that goes.
When I was in college, I worked at a number of pizza parlors. I also had a job at Marie Callender's, you know, the pie place. And I can tell you, let's say, you know, Dan Lanning, you're in charge of the entire section at Outback Steakhouse. Somebody called in sick. Yeah. And you've got tables going. They're seating new tables. They're picking. That chaos probably prepares you for the stuff you're dealing with now, because you got it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that multitasking.
It's fun, isn't it? Like, in those moments, you're stressed out, but afterwards, you're like, look what we just did, right? Like, we got all of our food out on time, right? Everybody's drinks were full the entire night. Nobody's waiting for the check. Like, that's a good feeling. And maybe you put a smile on somebody's face during the process.
You hit on something there. Half the battle is making sure that the glasses are full. Refill the water. Refill the iced tea.
Yeah.
Can I get you something else? Check back to the table. Check back. Just checking back. Hey, everything great? You know, and is everything okay? Is everything great? There's a big difference.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Yeah. All right. You can go now. I think we've covered it all. Dan Lanning, happy anniversary.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a great one. Thanks, John.
All right, there he goes, off to have his DoorDash Outback Steakhouse. Steven, he tips the DoorDash driver, although they don't let him know that it's Dan Lanning's house. So
yeah, I thought that was funny, yeah. But he owned it, though. He's like, look, my wife's in charge of this. But he can't. He can't have his name out there. There's too many crazies out there.
Yeah, you got to have a level of protection.
I'll say this, though. I was shocked he didn't mention the Bloomin' Onion, man. Mm. That's like the Outback go-to. No Bloomin' Onion mentioned at all. Well, I had to go back
I think you have to take that under consideration, that was intentional.
Right. Like now, if I go back to Outback, I'm not getting the Bloomin' Onion. Like there's something wrong with it. Yet.
And that Bloomin' Onion, that's like an onion ring out of control. Is that what it is?
Yeah. With this, some fire sauce. It's really, it's really pretty good. I can't believe you mentioned it.
I thought that was a really strong interview. We touched on Indiana without touching on Indiana. See how I did that? And then we moved it into Rutgers. He didn't want to talk too much about them falling down on defense. They have not been good on defense. I think Oregon is going to blow out Rutgers, and I think it'll all be about the offense. They'll get 40-plus on offense. They'll get as many as they want on offense. They could get 50 if they want to. I think Rutgers was good for about 14 or 17 points in this game. So I'll call it like 42-14 Oregon, and I think it could be uglier if Oregon wants it to be uglier. I think it'll be a real bounce back. And happy anniversary to Sophia and Dan. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.